For commercial reasons, an employer may wish to reduce employees' pay and or hours on a temporary or permanent basis as an alternative or in addition to making redundancies. Hello, I'm Robert Reddin from My Virtual HR, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk. In this recording, I will be considering whether it can ever be fair to dismiss someone for refusing to accept a pay cut. As always, the starting point is what the contract of employment provides. Does it give the employer the right to reduce pay? Or, as is almost always the case, is it silent about this? As a general principle, one party to a contract of employment cannot unilaterally alter its terms. Any change has to be agreed by all the parties to the agreement. So, can it ever be fair to dismiss someone for refusing to accept a pay cut? Whether it can be a fair reason for dismissal depends on two things. One, you must have a sound business reason for making the dismissal, which falls into the category of some other substantial reason of a kind such as to justify the dismissal of an employee holding the position which the employee held. And two, you must also demonstrate that in all the circumstances and having regard to the equity and substantial merits of the case, it was reasonable to dismiss. So let's look at these two criteria in a bit more detail. It was previously thought that the employer's financial position had to be dire before seeking to make pay cuts as an alternative to and or in addition to redundancies. And this was often the case. But the Employment Appeal Tribunal in Garside and Laycock against Booth said that the employer's financial position need not be so bad that it faced closure if such measures were not implemented. Nevertheless, the reason for dismissal must be substantial. You must also demonstrate that, in all the circumstances and having regard to the equity and substantial merits of the case, it was reasonable to dismiss. This will involve consideration of the employer's size and administrative resources. Relevant factors may include whether all employees, including management, face the same cuts, whether the new terms have been agreed with a recognised trade union, the extent of any consultations that took place with individual employees, including any consultations held to avoid a dismissal, whether an employer considered the views, if any, expressed by the affected employee, the undesirability of having one employee refuse to accept the pay reduction when all others had agreed to it, and the period of notice of change that is given. Some employees may have a longer notice period than others. Ideally, everyone should be given the longest notice period. The decision in Garside and Laycock against Booth makes it clear that careful consultation and consideration of individual circumstances, as well as the level of acceptance by the workforce of the proposed changes, may all affect the tribunal's assessment of whether a particular dismissal is fair. What the decision in Garside and Laycock against Booth does not do is established that it is fair to dismiss employees who refuse to accept pay cuts. Your dismissal procedure will also determine whether the dismissal is fair. But do you need to follow the ACAS Code of Practice on Disciplinary and Grievance Procedures? In 2010, in the case of Lund against St Edmund's School, Canterbury, the EAT ruled that the ACAS Code of Practice can apply to dismissals for some other substantial reason of a kind to justify a dismissal. The important thing is that it is not the ultimate outcome of the process which determines whether the code applies. It is the initiation of the process that matters. The code applies where disciplinary proceedings are, or ought to be, invoked against an employee. Irrespective of whether the code of practice applies, you must follow a fair procedure that includes a right of appeal. The prudent course of action is to err on the side of caution and follow the ACAS code of practice, even if strictly it does not apply to the particular circumstances of the case. So far we've been talking about how you, the employer, may fairly dismiss an employee who refuses to accept the proposed pay cut. But do you have any other obligations to your employees? Well, as it happens, you might have. In the UK, collective consultation obligations are contained within Section 188 of the Trade Union and Labour Relations Consolidation Act 1992. The definition of redundancy under that Act has a much wider meaning than a redundancy under the statutory provisions contained within Section 139 of the Employment Rights Act 1996. Dismissals which follow a refusal to accept new terms and conditions fall within the wider definition of redundancy for the purposes of collective consultations, and that includes a reduction in pay. Let's assume you have given in to the temptation to impose the pay cut unilaterally in the hope that all employees would agree to it. What about the situation where the employee resigns rather than accepting the pay cut you have unilaterally imposed? If he or she has the qualifying service, there is a high risk that they will bring a claim for constructive dismissal. All constructive dismissals are, by their nature, unfair. So potentially, you're back to defending a claim for unfair dismissal, and the points I made above are applicable. What is new is that in the recent case of Pujanti Rivera against Gestaro Clubs, 2015, the European Court of Justice has ruled that the definition of redundancy in the Collective Redundancies Directive now covers a constructive dismissal in circumstances where an employee resigns in response to a unilateral change to his rates of pay. The UK legislation will have to be read to give effect to this decision. If more than 20 employees are affected by the proposal to reduce their pay, and to avoid any risk of a protective award of up to 90 days' pay being made in respect of each of the affected employees, it would be prudent to follow the collective consultation rules from the beginning of the pay reduction process. That may mean arranging the election of representatives of the workforce with whom to hold consultations if there is no recognised trade union. Consulting with the appropriate representatives, that is, a recognised trade union or employee representatives elected for that purpose. Consulting with individual employees. Consultations with elected representatives or trade union representatives should be in good time, and depending on the numbers involved, the minimum time period of 30 days for 20 to 99 employees or 45 days for 100 or more employees should be allowed. And the Secretary of State for the Department of Business, Innovations and Skills should also be informed, using the form HR1. Failure to notify the Secretary of State is a criminal offence. What if less than 20 employees are affected by the proposal to reduce their pay? If that is the case, you should consult with individual employees. Start the consultations in good time. I suggest adopting the minimum timescale applicable to collective consultations. And there is no legal requirement to notify the Secretary of State. So, can it ever be fair to dismiss someone for refusing to accept a pay cut? Well, yes, it can be fair, but it requires careful thought and implementation. In particular, the employer must be able to show a good business reason for making the dismissals and be able to demonstrate that in all the circumstances and having regard to the equity and substantial merits of the case, it was reasonable to dismiss. I'm Robert Redding from My Virtual HR, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk.
Thanks for listening.